Okay. You want to set the phone? We're having phone difficulties, y'all. How about that? Do you want it to face you? So put it right on top of that. Scoot it over some. You look good. Do you want it? So do you want to sit right here?
I don't want it to face.
You don't want it to face you?
It's not. It's just not facing anything.
It's not. That's why I was like, do you want to scoot over a little bit? We could tilt it up. Use my water bottle. How's that? You good?
I'm about to cry.
You said what?
I'm about to cry.
Why?
Are you
I am, because I was about to introduce collaborators while you was getting that together, but then I wanted to help you. And that is April Hearn, y'all. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Amira Show. I know we're starting a little bit late today, but it is what it is, okay? It's been a little difficult of a motherfucking day, you know what I'm saying? If anyone was at Nirvana, it was nice seeing y'all. I had a great time. I definitely hope y'all did too, and you would just understand why today was a little difficult. So before we jump into our interview, I want to give a shout out really quickly to all of my collaborators, which I realized I think I want to start doing that on my hump day show, but I don't know. We only have like an hour for that, so I don't really know. So really quickly, I want to give a shout out to Nene at Night, who I just saw last night. What the hell, bitch? I miss you. We are going to be bringing back our collaborations Wednesdays very, very soon. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for that. Nene is our sexpert out in these streets of Louisville. So make sure y'all check out her page at Nene at Night on Facebook. Or you can go to her other page, Nene Lynn. I want to give a shout out to Brie Renee of Love, Sex, and Magic Company, where together we have our collaboration for Healing AF, where we focus on spirituality and astrology and healing through those entities. We're going to be having our collaboration start soon as well, because I know it's been a hot little second since we dropped some shit. I want to give a shout out to DJ Samosa, the official DJ of the Amira Show, who is responsible for twerk time. We won't have twerk time tonight simply because a bitch was stupid fucking late, but that's okay. Next time. I want to give a shout out to the Cuban Barbie Heaven, our official drag queen, who is out in Lex now at the bar complex killing it. Go check out our latest episode, which we recorded and aired last week. Make sure you check that shit out for updates on my bitch. And then shout out to Fem Drip, my squadron, Jasmine and Shanti. That's their podcast, in which they're going to be getting shit cracking with that very soon. Make sure you go follow them and check them out at fem.drip on Instagram. And then I want to give a shout out to my newest collaborator, my baby boo, Waist Beads by Lola. That's our waist bead plug, you know what I'm saying? Remember, every Wednesday we have our discount when you use the promo code Amira Show. You get a discount. It's only on Wednesdays, every Wednesday. So make sure y'all catch this shit next week. All right, with that being said, we're going to go on and get on with the show. Did you press live yet? You didn't press it yet?
I'm so scared.
Press it!
This?
Yes! This bitch has had an interesting motherfucking week, which makes total sense as to why the bitch is drunk right now. And I love it, though. And we're going to talk about why and what's been going on, you know what I'm saying? Everything that I've been putting on Instagram. The Black Brilliance Expo, which I'm so excited to talk about, and along with your business, girl, the Angel Effect. So go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners.
Hey, everybody. My name is April Hearn. I am the owner and operator of the Angel Effect. The Angel Effect is heavily known for retail in cosmetics, apparel, and accessories. We have an online presence, but we also offer pickup purchases at 816 East Broadway. So come and check us out. You can find us online at theangeleffect.faith. You can find us on Facebook at the The Angel Effect. If you use the handle, it is theangeleffect.usa, and we're on Instagram at theangeleffect.usa.
Fuck yes. Thank you. You didn't sound drunk at all.
Oh, great.
Great practice, bitch. She said, I've been doing this for years, bitch. So thank you so much for introducing yourself. What you left out was that I'm a bad bitch. I am doing this shit. I am a black woman, mom, all of that good shit. Because you are killing it, April.
Well, you are.
We work together in the daytime, and I've just really got to see this queen hard at work. With thank many you. Challenges and tribulations, you know what I'm saying? And I just love you for it. I love you more and more every single day. And did it.
Mira.
I'm saying I never, ever saw this coming, that we will be this tight beach. Like, I really appreciate you. I really do.
And I appreciate you.
I really try to help you.
And you are hella dope yourself.
Listen, sometimes.
All the time.
Just a little bit.
A whole bunch.
This is about you.
You can't glorify one queen with another queen being in the presence.
Oh my God.
And not glorify her as well. That's not how I roll.
I can't handle it ever.
That ain't even how I roll. Yeah. You know what it is.
That's dope. I really appreciate you. I need all the love these days. So I want to learn, before we talk about the Black Brilliance Expo, I want to talk a little bit more about your business.
Okay, great.
Your business and then the steps that you're taking to grow the business, because it's kind of new, isn't it?
Yes. We launched the Angel Effect during the pandemic in 2020. It had been in my head since 2016. Uh-huh. I have been laying out the format for it. I have been doing my research in regards to competitive businesses in the same industry as me. Mm-hmm. Trying to, you know, like funnel down on my target audience and things of that nature. What is my niche? And what type of presence that I want to have?
So
I spent years doing that.
Uh-huh.
Then the pandemic hit and it was like, okay, there's no better time than now, because my issue has always been either you're going to pay these bills or either you're going to launch this business.
Right.
And so when I got the grace of not having to pay them bills during COVID, I invested all of my money into my business, and I was able to take advantage of that because I didn't get a stimulus check.
Yeah.
I didn't get all the unemployment money.
Yeah.
But what I was able to do was take the money that I was earning from employment and invest it while I had those grace periods. So, fuck the system. I took advantage.
Basically.
Erica and Chester, y'all want
to
bring your children?
I was about to say, we got some bitches that just came up into the room, y'all.
We have the co-owner of the Angel Effect.
Co-owner, Chastity. Go
Chastity
ahead and pull up
a table. My
stop
daughter.
Playing with me.
That's my baby, and she is the co-owner of the Angel Effect. You want to say hey?
Hey.
Hey, I'm about to get you a microphone.
Yeah.
And
so,
Erica, this is your mic right here.
Chastity is my daughter. She is 21 years old, and I have raised all of my children to be more interested with entrepreneurship versus working for companies or corporate America or any of that. I will not tell them that continuing education is not important. I don't believe that, as I am in college myself. However, I have raised them to believe that the way to wealth is to start their own businesses and create generational wealth for themselves and their children and their families. And outside of my baby girl, who is currently in training, we also have Miss Erica Seward. And for my Facebook Live, I'm going to just turn the camera so everybody can see her. That's Erica. And Erica serves as the, she put her drink all in my camera. But Erica serves as the administrator for the Angel Effect. And she, way before the Angel Effect ever came about, she has always helped me as a personal assistant. For those of you all that don't know, I led a lot of women's empowerment conferences. I've wrote several books. And Erica has been my right-hand man through everything, like doing all the administrative stuff behind the scenes. things, the type of shit that makes my head spin, she has been able to take it by the balls and just really, you know, just make it do what it do. And then with the books, she is my editor. She's my chief editor for the books that I have written and published, as well as the books that I have published for other authors. So... Yeah. She's definitely going into the Angel Effect with me.
Right.
And she probably will make it be like the best of me that you see or anything that I produce comes from deep down inside of Erica Seaver.
Oh my God. She's doing a great job hyping the fuck out of everyone today.
Yeah. So she's so Man. Freaking awesome.
Erica, put the mic up to you. Hold on. I don't.
Does she not have another microphone?
How's that?
There you go. You good. You good. Right. No, fucking I don't. So I have new microphones, but they didn't fucking come with cords. So, like, what type of shit is that?
What?
Behringer, what type of shit is that? Even though I do appreciate y'all and y'all's products. What the fuck? So I got three fucking microphones over here, new ones, which is beautiful. I ain't opened these up for like a year, and there's no fucking mic or cord. So, sorry. Chastity and April, y'all gonna have to share. My bad.
Come on, let's do two poor harmony.
She's not even gonna talk. So Erica and Chastity, basically what we were starting off talking about was how the business and how it came to be and whatnot. So you explained, you know, quarantine. What made you get into this? Like, Erica, what made you decide, like, I want in on this shit? Like, tell me.
I don't
me.
Really have a choice.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm all in. So, you know, where she goes, I go. We do this together. So
okay.
It's not even a decision-making process.
Got you.
We're doing and this. I appreciate that.
She says we're doing it. We're doing it.
And you're doing it.
We're doing it.
That's dope. Sometimes you just got to fucking do it. You know what I'm saying?
And it's good to have people in your life like that that can see your vision, see your passion, and say, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you go, I'm going. Let's do this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's been a lot of days that I've been like, fuck this shit. I don't want to do it.
Right.
And she's like, okay,
fuck
no.
Fuck that shit. You're going to do it.
Right.
What you need to do, what you're going to do is
right.
Take a break. You're going to regroup. And you're going to come back to it. And you're going to execute it.
Exactly.
And you're going to do it with excellence. So,
exactly.
You know, it's good to have people in your life like Erica Seaward. If you don't got one, get you one.
Get you
one,
Erica.
Through Agape Administrative Services. That's how you book with Erica. I share my resources. I share my people.
Hurry up, because we booked and busy.
I'm about to say, booked and busy. And there's technically only really one. So you're going to have to go find your own almost, Erica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's some good other candidates out there.
Awesome.
They're out there. Somewhere.
Always. I said also, but I meant always.
I was like, also? Oh, okay, always. Gotcha. The drunk is coming back.
Always.
When she introduced herself, I was like, oh, it's like you sobered up for like a minute.
Yeah.
And then it came back. So
stop
with that,
telling people I'm drunk.
I'm sorry. But that's what the show is for. Us to be drunk and have conversation. Okay.
I'm sorry for those on my live
who are like, oh God.
That ain't used
to. You should already know.
I'm about to say, they should know because that is who you are. And this is the Amira show, okay? Where we are just here to shut the fuck up. Ain't no crazy ass expectations over here. You know how many times I've been on this show? Like, girl, put the mic down. You are tripping right now. That was back in the day. I'm
pulling
up.
I love her.
So,
are you sure my mic is on?
Yes,
I hear you loud and clear.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Good job.
So, what things are you doing to build the business even more and more? I'm asking because I've been seeing, but of course my listeners don't know, so they need to know as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we have been doing to build more and more is trying to connect with people that have the knowledge and the resources and the tools that the Angel Effect does not have that it absolutely needs to thrive and go further.
Right.
So I'm just going to go on and put it out there. I probably shouldn't, but we met with Dave Christopher. It was an impromptu meeting.
Nice.
Because I pulled up. Because I needed him to understand that he has everything that I need. He's been a great resource for our community.
Yeah.
The Amped. program in regards to music, but then also the incubator, the technology incubator, has been a new resource for our community, and he is literally paving the way for black businesses, small black businesses, and literally like plugging them into everything that they need. And before I jump on anything, I like to sit back and get my research and observe
and see
what it is. Smart. If this is even a place for me.
And
it absolutely is. So I sent him a message, but then I pulled up the other day and I'm like, yo, listen, I need to be in this incubator. Like the whole survival right now of my business needs this incubator. And what is an incubator for? It is to, you know, to sustain life, to increase the quality of life when you cannot sustain it for yourself.
So I
sent him that message and I said, we need you. And so he put me on his calendar.
He sure the fuck did.
He put me on his calendar. And so what I am expecting from that is a lot of coaching.
Yep.
So that we can really just hone in on what it is that we want to do, how we want to do it, and where we want to do it.
You know,
I know that I've invested so much of my money into the Angel Effect, and I'm not seeing that back. While I've never been a big person on numbers in regards to money, I do need it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you're in a business that is retail based, it's extremely important that you get a return on your investment.
Yeah.
That's the only way
that you get inventory and shit.
That's the only way it's going to survive. And so, just being honest, I saw after Erica, you know, and she only did a little bit of the inventory, you know. She only did like a couple of months of it. And just by looking at that and seeing what I have going out, and we haven't even really did a lot of calculations, but I'm like, something ain't right here.
I don't
know how to fix this. And so I needed to reach out to people that had that knowledge and that skill set that can help me so that we won't keep pumping money into an entity and it's going down the drain.
Not because
it doesn't have what it takes to survive, but because we don't have the knowledge and the skill
set. Yeah, but you just need a push. You need some help. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's only been, what, like a couple years?
It's been a year and a couple months.
Right.
April 2nd, which is my birthday, but it's also the birthday of the Angel Effect.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, good little launch date there.
Yeah. And so, like,
you can't forget that.
Yeah. Our first, 6 months, we took a huge, huge deficit. Like, I launched it after the name was the Angel Face Cosmetics. And that was after my daughter. She's been Angel Face all her life. I call her Angel Face. That's been her name since I ever laid eyes on her, was Angel Face. And so it was named after her. But then when I did my trademark, people do your trademark before you launch your business.
Oh, shit.
I realized that there was already a business called Angel Face Cosmetics, and they were in the same industry. So if they're in a different industry than you, then you
kind of pull that off.
Yeah. Okay. But they were in the same industry as me, listed as cosmetics and things of that nature.
Okay.
So I had to change my name. There was $6,000 worth of inventory gone down the drain.
Damn.
That had been labeled with Angel Face Cosmetics.
Holy shit.
So at this point, I had been ordering stuff. I just hadn't launched. So when we launched, we had all this inventory. That was in April. And I think I realized that my name was already trademarked maybe in May.
Yeah.
So,
damn,
I cried for about 2 months.
Hell yeah. $6,000 of product?
Yeah.
Shit.
And I didn't think that I was going to be able to do this, right? I'm devastated. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God.
Right.
Like, so much was built around the name.
Yeah.
And so I talked to my homegirl, Vernice Mitchell, and I was like, what do you think? What can I do?
Yeah.
Like, what? And she's like, April, how bad do you want this? Are you going to let a name stop you?
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, just from talking to somebody who has that like-mindedness and who knows me, that kind of lit my fire to, you know, go again. So I came up with the Angel Effect. And how that happened was I started looking at new brands. Okay. Instead of looking at the big brands that had been going, like MAC, Sephora, Anastasia, I started looking at some upcoming brands. And what did they do?
Right.
And Supercent is one of my mentors. She don't know that because we never met, but she's like my online mentor.
I hear you.
her brand is called The Crayon. No, The...
Is Crayon in there?
No.
Shit. She's my mentor.
The Crayon Effect?
I'm playing. The, no, no. It's nothing of that. It's the Crayon.
Crayon case?
Crayon case.
But that's the product.
But yeah, that's not the name of the...
The Crayon case. No.
The Crayon case.
No, it's not the fucking Crayon
that's
case.
The product. She's got a product. It's the Crayon case.
Oh, okay.
What is it, Jesse? Look it up real quick. I will not.
I
refuse to go on any further. What was it called? The crayon box? The... Are you serious?
It's okay. You had a long day. Okay. Some things are just going to slip your mind today.
No, Super, not Judy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Many online mentors.
I have two. And they're best friends.
Oh, for real?
They're best friends and they're multi-million millionaires. Oh,
they're a whole package.
It's the crayon case. It's the crayon case.
I thought that was like a
no. Okay, so I was right.
Okay, you
it
just,
is the crayon
the
case.
The crayon case.
And
okay.
So I thought it was really cool how she had the in front of her name.
Yeah.
You only see that in certain instances, like organizations that do human services or restaurants or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want to be the Angel Effect, even though everybody calls me Angel Effect.
Right.
It is the Angel Effect. And the reason why I thought it was significant, because when you put the Angel Effect, first of all, it gives this presence, right? Like this. You know what I'm saying? We are the Angel Effect. You
motherfucking feel me? Angel Effect. You heard me.
It also, to me, limited the box that I was going to put myself in.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I am the Angel Effect, I feel like I'm open to do whatever I want to with it because we are the Angel Effect.
Yeah.
And it gave me a sense of confidence. Like, I did my research on angels because even though I'm on the Amira show, a lot of people will not know this about me. I'm also an ordained minister. you know, I just, you know what I'm saying, got my own way of doing it. And the Angel Effect is one of the ways that I want to provide ministry through.
I want
to heavily, like, the makeup industry, the fashion industry is heavily saturated, but it is not heavily saturated with the word of God.
With the word
and
of God.
So, tell them. That's what differentiates me and makes my brand different from anybody else. Because when you create a brand, you are to bring yourself to that.
True.
And no, regardless of how wild I get sometimes, how much fuck shit I do sometimes, like, regardless of all of that, deep down inside, I am rooted and grounded in the word. Like, I am a worshiper. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
And so I have to stay true to me. And in staying true to me, I have to make sure that whatever I do, it sends that message. And so the Angel Effect, it is about, like, angels. When I look in the Bible, when you came into the presence of an angel, it changed you in some type of way.
Right.
Every way was different for whoever that angel was talking to and whatever message they was giving, but it changed their life in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And that's what I want the Angel Effect to do. Right. I don't want to say we're going to change you like this. We're going to get you to a higher level of living. Like, that's all that we talk about when we talk about empowerment, right? No. Your highest level of living might be that you masturbate 3 or 4 times a day instead of 1 or 2.
Instead of 1 or 2.
You feel me? Like, whatever it is, we're going to help you get there.
Right.
And so we offer a plethora of products and you know, different things in our inventory that goes from sex toys to apparel to accessories to cosmetics.
Yeah.
We want you to look beautiful on the outside, But then we also offer different workshops and community engagement events that helps you on the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
One of our events is coming up.
Coming right on up. Great segue, right motherfucker, into the Black Brilliance Expo, please.
Yes, it's the Black Brilliance Expo. So the Black Brilliance Expo is all about cultural empowerment because I am for my people. And so what we want to do with that is to show Black people, white people, Asian people, Hispanic people, the island people, the people that we never met that live under the rock in the trees and stuff.
I hear you.
Like all
they
people.
They probably not going to know about this. Still
the
under
Amish
the rock.
We gave an Amish community a flyer the other day. Bitch. Like what?
Hell
but
yeah.
We want everybody to understand that Black history is American history.
Right.
Black history is something to be celebrated. Black right. history is something to be proud of. Mm. And so it's made by us for us.
Yep. Yep.
But it's something that everybody can embrace. Mm-hmm. Because we are real good at embracing African culture.
Yeah.
We're real good at embracing. And even Black people, when we want to feel connected to our roots, we run to African, you know, traditions. We run to tribal traditions. And ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to retire in Lagos, Nigeria. I don't know if I pronounced that right. But that's where I want to.
They're going to teach you when you get there.
You feel me? And so, like, that is a goal of mine. But we cannot. Or we have to
almost drop the fucking glass,
start,
y'all.
We have to start acknowledging the fact that Black culture is a lot different than African culture.
Yeah.
I mean, what's her name? The white chick up in the White House that put on the dashiki and they took a knee and put their fist
up.
Oh,
it was like all those Congress people, right?
Yeah, Pelosi and them. So their way of trying to say that Black Lives Matter was to come out in the African dashiki. And I was like, that's cute. Okay.
It's cute.
But when you get down to the nitty gritty, right, you feel me? When you get down to the nitty gritty of Black culture, that's not in our neighborhoods.
No.
That's not in our school systems.
Right.
That's not who we are as a people.
Yeah.
And
are you talking about specifically African Americans?
African Americans, but I'm talking about Black Americans.
Black Americans.
Because there
that's what I meant. Black Americans.
There
yes.
is a huge difference. Like, we come away from a lot of our African roots, which I wish we wouldn't have.
I don't think it's necessarily our fault. You know
no,
what I'm saying?
No, no, no.
People that I brought over here had to just kind of make a way. Traditions become
good
different
American,
ones.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, I don't like using African American. I like just saying I'm Black.
Me too.
Sometimes just American. Black. I am American. I don't want to say unfortunately, but.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm American.
And so, but you bring up a good
I'm
point.
I'm a Westerner.
We were forced to kind of separate.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense. And so, with that, we still found our own way.
Right, exactly.
We did not just take, like, some of us did, you know, take on their ways of living and all mm-hmm. that. And that's where you get the Black people that mm-hmm. don't feel successful unless they're living that American dream of the white picket fence, the family and the dog. And unfortunately, these are the type of people that I call Daniel Camerons. They need that pat on the back from their white
from
counterparts
the white people.
That say, good job, little nigger. You did it. You
exactly.
made us proud.
Yes.
But that's not, you know, so that's where that divide is. Some went left field, but then you have a lot of Black people that say, you know what? I don't know where I come from.
Yeah.
I don't know what part of Africa I'm from or where my ancestors come from.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that I am Black.
Yep.
I was forced to live in certain parts of urban spaces that we know are ghettos or what we have called hoods.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to thrive to the best of my ability
while
I'm here.
Right.
We have HBCUs. HBCUs are a part of Black culture.
Yeah, definitely.
Not African culture. We created that once we were forced to come over here and find our own way.
Exactly.
The Harlem Renaissance is a part of
Black culture. Black culture.
These are now things that I'm going into the Black Expo.
Okay.
These are things that you're going to see when you come to the show. Mm-hmm. These are things that are going to be displayed through fashion, through art, through dance, whatever expression that we are able to, live performances, yep. you know? Yep. But, like, we had that Harlem Renaissance era where we started doing jazz music. We started doing poetry. We started mm-hmm. doing dance performances in our fashion. Oh, my God.
Black people have started it all. Yes, you can't tell me otherwise. Like, we've started it all.
You know?
Like,
and so we thrived as mm-hmm. a people. We thrived. And, of course, they came and, you know, tore our shit down like they always do.
Oh, definitely. But then we Anytime we come up, they destroy shit.
They literally do. We always find a way mm-hmm. to come back and we excel.
Yep.
We don't just come back and be on that same level. We come back and we're greater.
Yeah.
You know, so
we're strong. It's bred into us from our ancestry. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even though we aren't necessarily Africans, there was a strong people, like their cities, and, things that we aren't told about, their kingdoms, things we aren't told. There was a strong people, you know what I'm saying? Just as strong as any of these other motherfuckers, if not stronger.
Yeah.
So it's just bred within us. Yeah. And no one can tell me otherwise. It's within us to constantly and consistently succeed. And one of these days, we're going to take over this fucking country. It just is what it is.
Sooner than later.
It's not going to happen in our fucking lifetime, sooner than later, looking ass.
I'm going to get my piece of the pie before I die.
Oh, Most definitely.
You know, so in the Black Brands Expo, we go from the Harlem Renaissance era to the Black Panther Party.
Yeah.
The Black Panther Party is also Black culture.
Yep.
We had to come up with the Black Panther Party mm-hmm. to protect ourselves. Yep. A lot of what the Black Panther Party
was their own army.
They policed the police. Mm-hmm. Why did they police the police? Not because they didn't have nothing else better to do, but because we were being killed.
Being killed.
We were being mistreated.
The police are policing themselves.
They were abusing their authority.
Which ain't policing. They just do the fuck they want to.
They was doing what police do.
Ridiculous.
Right? And so...
And back then, it was very...
I don't like this angle of me on my line. I'm sorry. Okay.
Back then, it was very intentional to kill Black people. And that's the whole purpose of police being around. It was literally to control Black people, keep Black people in check for the white people, all that good shit.
And people don't want to admit the fact, but it's proven that the police department was made to catch slaves.
Right.
You know, you know, they were made, like, we went from slave masters to police. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so the Black Panther Party, because I don't want to focus on the pain and the oppression.
We
know that story enough. I want to focus on the fact that we still overcame that shit.
Oh, definitely.
We found strategies and we found things and ways to continue to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Black Panther Party mm-hmm. rose up, that was one of their focuses, was that we save ourselves.
Yep.
Actually, that's Maxwell's Mitchell's focus. That's his saying.
His saying.
Who is also over here. He's live streaming. But he is definitely...
I forgot you were. Hey.
Yeah, he's definitely a part of the Black Brilliance Expo because he is Black Brilliance in and of his own way.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And he gave me that, like, well, he didn't give it to me, but I heard him say it so many times. We save ourselves. Uh-huh. We save ourselves. And I gravitated to that. Like, my spirit took that in, right? Like, we save ourselves. We won't cut the check. We need the reparations, you know, but... There's so much.
We want the money.
Yeah, there's so much that we have to do upon ourselves because we have trust issues.
Oh, the community needs to heal than a motherfucker.
It's hard for me to go and sit on a couch in a therapy session and my therapist is white.
Yeah.
And you better not be a white man because then I really struggle.
Then it's really an issue.
I don't want to struggle.
Yeah.
But because of my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to choose.
Yeah.
That mental strain
comes up,
you know? And that's just like, I just started at a new job. I don't want to say it because I don't know if they're going to fire me if I say this.
Don't say it. Huh.
I just started at a new job and the field is predominantly white.
Yep.
And I only felt comfortable applying for that job because of the people at a particular location. And I said, I have to work at this location.
Yes.
I have to be at this location because that was a level of comfort for me. And today was my boss's, our boss's last day. And while the other people that been at the branch and been with him for years, they were fine. They were like, congratulations. We're glad you're moving on.
Yeah.
I don't have very many tearful days since he's announced that. And I never thought I would share tears over a white man.
It takes a lot to trust these white people. Yes. And then and when you finally do and like it feels right and good, like, you know, like I have an ally.
Yeah. So I built a level of trust with him and now he's leaving and I have to worry about who's coming to fill his shoes.
Yeah.
And will there be that sense of oppression? Will there be that prejudice? Will there be that bias that I'm so used to with white people in powerful positions or decision-making positions, you know? So, you know, I said all that just to go back to say, you know, we have the Black Panther Party represented in Black Brilliance, and we have the Civil Rights Movement represented in Black Brilliance because so many have fought for us to just be Black.
Black. Just crazy. Like, just so trivial to me. You know, like, what the fuck? Over some like skin color and big lips.
When I go to work, I have my supervisor. I prep her every 2 weeks on my hair.
She does. I wish she didn't, though.
I do it because I love her response. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do it because when she gives me that response, that gives me an opportunity to teach her.
Stop
this shit. What you doing? Because like I told her, I said, you know, you've seen me in braids and you see me in wigs, but I'm going to come on Monday with my natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all me. And I want you to understand that you cannot touch it.
You can't touch
it. Don't ask me.
I don't want no huge. Oh my God, your hair.
And then I still get that though. Yes. When I walked
you
in,
you go get
that. Oh my God. Even the mirror was like, yes, bitch. Yes. Be fucking Black at the bank. You're like, I was like,
I
okay.
Was happy. Let that shit
she
out.
She was. But guess what I still got? From my and I'm cool with this lady. I like her a lot.
Yeah,
you know, we may see different on some things, but the heart of her I like and appreciate.
Yeah,
and she still said, "Is that all your hair? Because it's different sizes and different patterns and different colors." And
she asked that.
You know what I'm saying?
But she was real
that was an opportunity for me to say, "I never ask you."
Mm-hmm.
If your hair is real,
right.
When you walk in the door,
right,
and it's not good for you to ask me.
Yeah,
I don't care what sizes my hair is. I don't care if you see some fluffy and some curly. It doesn't matter.
Right,
it doesn't give you the right to ask me that.
Right,
and she respected what I had to say.
Yeah.
And so not only are we building that relationship as co-workers, but I'm helping her to reshape the way she thinks about Black people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what Black Brilliance is about. The Black Brilliance Expo is for us.
Yeah.
But it's also a time for non-members, not just white people.
Non-members.
But people of all cultures.
Yeah. To get a showcase.
To come and experience and learn.
Right. Right.
So, you know, we also have a lot of live performances that are for us. You know what I'm saying?
I'm excited.
We got fashion our fashion tells a story in and of itself.
It really does.
You know what I'm saying?
It really does.
And so we put all of that in there. Our hair, you know, just we had to have a bill passed to protect our hair.
When the Crown Act passed, I was like, turn. And then also like, damn. Fuck. We got to do all of this.
We had to have a bill passed for Erica to be able to work in corporate America with dreadlocks.
It's
for
crazy.
You to be able to work at the bank with dreadlocks.
I know, like, it's crazy. I don't think. Hi there.
You know.
I think that like, it just. It is so exhausting having to explain it to people, like really how much we, cause it's like, it was a whole process. Like we were brought over here or whatever the hell and, you know, beaten into submission, you know, on how we are supposed to be and shit like that. And then, after that, it was like, that became our norm or whatever the fuck. Or like we started to perm and straighten our hair. You good? What you got?
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm distracted now. What you got?
Keep going.
I'm trying.
Okay. So we were talking about hair.
Yeah, I was just saying that like we had to work hard to be accepted with that was bleaching our, no, I don't want to say bleaching our hair, but like, you know, straightening
our hair,
hiding it, right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got better, you know, with just getting wigs and stuff like that and, you know, sew-ins and shit, but it's just doing so much. And it's like, now we're trying to take our shit back. Like,
yeah,
now we're trying to fight
reporters.
To like get back to, oh, all of them. Like,
the news reporters and what they were doing, man. To just get a gig, you feel me?
Yeah, it's
they
crazy.
Had to. They were not allowed. Renee Murphy was the first African American. I don't know about the first in Louisville, Kentucky, mm-hmm. to say, "Y'all gonna get this fro."
Right.
It is what y'all gonna get this fro. Right. I'm tired of my scalp bleeding from putting relaxers in my hair just so I can. Look the part.
Yeah, your part to make you feel comfortable. Anything to have y'all, anything that y'all feel you can relate to, y'all's and white people, anything white people, they feel they can relate to, I mean, it just makes it more comfortable, and it just sucks, because now we're combating that, like, now, and we really are, like, we have to get laws, like,
pads,
what
just
the fuck,
to wear our hair in
to
a
me,
natural
that's
state.
Just straight up discrimination.
Yo.
But, of course, that only applies to things that they really care about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I just...
Yeah, speak on that.
No.
What happened?
She said no.
There was a situation at the school. So, yeah, my daughter is talking about the situation with the cheerleading team. What school was it?
Ballard or Valley?
Ballard High School. There was a cheer coach, and I'm believing that this cheer coach was not of African descent or
she wasn't
color.
A member.
She was a non-member. She was a non-member, and I get that term non-member from my Ink Tips, because if she hear me saying it and I don't give her a prop, she gonna have my head. So anyway, just recently in 2021, we had cheer coaches telling black students that they could not wear their hair in braids.
Yeah.
They couldn't wear their hair in braids.
And this should still happen.
Right. You know, like, come on now. Like, so we had to have a law passed. And with that law, those coaches, I don't know if they know about this law or not, they are not able to tell them that they can't do that. Because a white person can go on vacation and while they're on the island, get their hair in cornrows and come back and wear it to work for 2 weeks and nobody says nothing
at
all. You know, so for this reason, we have created a whole scene in the Black Brands Expo that is about black hair. And it's a scene full of these beautiful afros. Like, because there's so much strength in who we are.
Yes.
There's so much strength. And, you know, because, you know, I can't help it. Who I am is who I am. I always go back to my biblical foundation. There's a man in the Bible named Samson. Samson is known for his hair and his hair being his strength. And when he laid on the lap of a lady named Delilah, Delilah supposedly cut his hair. Mm-hmm. I bet she was a non-member.
Non-member.
But she cut his hair. And non-member. When she cut his hair, he lost his strength.
Yep.
Samson was a man that could fight armies all by his
Yeah.
He didn't need no help because his strength was in his hair.
Yeah.
What we fail to say, what we fail to admit, is that his hair was in the form of locks.
Locks. Most
That's
definitely.
What we like to leave out.
Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? I was thinking about that today because one of my homeboys just told me, you know, I'm like Samson, and Samson had all his hair, and my homeboy got all this beautiful hair, and we know him very well, but I ain't going to say his name because I'm going to sound like I'm hating on him. But my homeboy, to me, looks Hawaiian. Or, you know what I'm saying? Before I knew his name, I called him Maui. Was that
you
the
stupid.
Name we had for him? Maui. Because I didn't know his name, but he reminded me of a Hispanic man.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be known that Samson, his hair wasn't curly, baby.
No.
He
that
had
shit was
locks.
Locked the fuck up.
His
what
hair
do you
was
mean?
Nappy. Do you hear what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
And so thinking of Samson and the strength that he had in his locks and his naps, I couldn't help but to add that into the show.
Yep.
So even though we're not giving you Bible, there's a lot of biblical content in the foundation of the show, because I don't believe that I forced the Bible down people's throats.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Yeah.
So when you see them afros come across the stage, and we got creative with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But when you see them come across the stage, understand that you are getting a message that there is strength. And just being who you are naturally as a black person.
Yeah.
Allowing yourself to naturally exist on this earth. Mm-hmm. I remember a few months ago, I kept begging Maxwell to cut his fucking hair. I'm like, Maxwell.
And he just let that shit ride out.
In the beginning of the protest, yes. Maxwell had a regular, natural little haircut, like kind of like he got now.
Right.
And then he let it do what it do.
Right. Basically.
And it did what it did. And I was like, yo, this shit is, I'm in his head, like pulling it apart. And I'm like, Maxwell, this is getting nasty. Like, you got, and we, he named them. There. He said they were communities, right? Yeah. They were communities. But then we had an island over here to where several other communities just kind of congregated and came together, and they wasn't separating, like they wasn't happening. They was in that shit together
forever.
And I was like, yo, like, this is getting gross, yada 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 yada. And eventually Maxwell cut his hair, and I'm like, what type of pressure did I put on him that initiated that?
Yeah.
Why couldn't I, as a black woman, just allow him, as a black man, to let his hair be? Why couldn't I do that?
Yeah,
because you know what I mean?
It's the shit, it's how we've been socialized in this white society.
Yeah.
That, you know, beauty is supposed to look a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Beauty is supposed to look, you know, beauty is supposed to look a certain way, you know, close to whiteness. And it sucks because we police ourselves. Even when we do try to do natural styles, we still clown ourselves. Like, girl, like, you know how much people get on me for not retwisting my hair?
We had a conversation. I'm like, Amira, how much do you twist your hair?
I just decided this year that I guess I'll do it once a year. But I stopped retwisting my hair probably like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, but and the I just fact root snap that we to keep to even have that conversation.
Yeah, we need to fuck alone. You not questioning J. Cole with his ass. This shit doing whatever the fuck it wants to. We need to hell alone. And stop telling me what natural is supposed to look like, what that beauty is supposed to look like, etc., etc. To me, that's just shit that we got to work on within
our culture.
Within, most
and
definitely.
So that's why I said, you know, like, he doesn't know this, but me telling him over and over and over, you need to go to the barbershop and get your hair cut. Mm-hmm. That's why I have this scene in the show.
Yeah,
because I had no right to tell him that.
Yeah,
I had, and then when he actually did it, I'm like, what the fuck did I just do?
I thought he cut that shit because it's getting hot out.
No, well, I'm not going to say that me applying the pressure is what made him cut it.
Because that is what I said, though. I was like, is it hot out?
He's the type of person to where he never stopped at the bar. You know, his story is, I go, if I'm walking past a barbershop and I got time and I got the $20, I'll stop in and get my hair cut.
Right.
If I don't, then I'm not.
Then I'm not.
So I'm pretty sure that's why he stopped in the barbershop.
Because he held,
but
you know.
I know that every single day, I was in his hairline.
You was in his shit.
What is this? What are you doing? Why?
Why?
I don't like it. You know? And I just checked myself as a black woman.
Yeah.
To not do that.
And that's a big step. That's a big step towards healing and community healing.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for us to, it's really hard for us to get to that.
We should be able to embrace it. If he wanted to let his hair freeform and grow out to whatever.
Hell yeah.
He could have started growing up the side of buildings if he wanted it to.
Hell yeah.
I've
seen
no
some freeform locks.
Just
a tree on a head. Yes. I was like, amazing.
Right.
It's art.
Right. You know what I'm saying? The fact that, and that is one of the things that we're hated for, but we're also secretly admired for.
Secretly,
you know what I'm saying? They might not ever
secretly
say it, but they love
the culture, but they hate our asses. Yes. Lord.
Yes.
Lord.
And so that's why I put that scene in that show. Mm-hmm. So as I learn to embrace what we're able to do naturally, I want to help my community be able to do the same thing.
So I had a thought, because I know you also like to, and you have a drink. I know you like to definitely focus on, or one of the things that I consistently hear you talk about is like being professional, or just, you know, being black and professional and stuff and what that looks like. And I actually learned a lot through college, like the real struggle, the real deal struggle with that. Like when I was becoming more and more of who I am in terms of playing with my style, how I like to dress, my hairstyles, you know, things of that nature. I really, really learned how brainwashed we also are in that department. You know what I'm saying? When you go to the office, you know, how you're exploited. Oh, Amira, hype everyone up. Amira, you too loud. Within the same motherfucking day. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's hard to be yourself. Those white people, they're going to play their little music or whatever the hell. We play our trap rap. It's a problem. You know what I'm saying? It's just little things here and there. I recently experienced at my last job, I recently experienced from other black professionals, actually. One of the, I would, in conversation, just be like, that's dope. Like, if I agreed with something, I would be like, that's dope. I would be like, that's dope. Or, you know, like, I'm being myself. You know what I'm saying? Chug it then, bitch. Yes. But, talking, you already know I'm going to tell on you. I got to turn your mic back up, Erica, because you was putting it down. No, you was good. You know I'm going to tell on you, bitch. What? It's Friday. But, one of the things that I experienced was that, like, it's still, we still aren't giving ourselves enough power to be ourselves in the professional environment. And I think that would be something definitely interesting for you to take a focus on, like, next year's expo or something like that. You know, with the whole thing of us code switching, with the whole, like, this black man literally is telling me, like, when other people are on, we on a meeting, like, you know, don't say that's dope. What? Yeah. I didn't say, like, fuck yeah. I said, that's dope. And my prior boss, who was a white man, one of the most supportive white men I've ever had in my corner, love that I was just me, love that shit. And I just was talking to my supervisor, like, I don't understand how we come so far professionally. Like, we worked very hard to be ourselves. We worked very hard to have our own hairstyles and our own styles in the business world, to include corporate, you know, any fucking where that we stand. So it just, I think that shit would be definitely interesting. Get her. Every time she talks, it distracts me, and I just stare at my water bottle and talk. I'm sorry. It's okay. She's drunk. But yeah, overall, though, I think that would be something definitely interesting for you to touch on when it comes to being black and professional and being yourself. Like, it was like, we get to be ourselves. You can't, it's not fair that people are tying our professionalism and our skill sets to how the fuck my hair looks this morning.
Yes.
Or whether I want to wear my fucking Tevas. You know how tempted I've been to wear my fucking Tevas to work, because I'm still a fucking hip. I'm a hippie bitch, and I'm going to get the job done no matter what the fuck I'm wearing. Like, what the hell?
I really want to speak on this, because I think that you would find it very interesting in why I am the way that I am in regards to professionalism. Okay, so what you're saying, yes, true, 100%. Mm-hmm. I showed up at, I won't mention the church, but I showed up at church in 2005.
Yeah.
And I had, that's back when ponchos was out, the mm-hmm. pants. We call them, what we call them?
Gauchos?
Gauchos. I said ponchos.
I was like, people just wearing that shit?
I showed up in the church in some gauchos with a fitted shirt, and the gauchos are form-fitting, right?
Yeah.
So they really hug the upper pelvis area.
Yeah.
And I was singing in the choir in my gauchos because I didn't have church etiquette.
Right.
And so somebody came to me, older, what we would call church mother,
yeah,
came to me and was like, baby, you don't wear that to church. That ain't you. That ain't nothing that you wear to church. You need to represent yourself a little bit better. Yada yada yada.
Man, but don't you come as you are.
I loosened up a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I also had a pastor. And now let me be very clear. I respect the pastor that I had for 18 years.
Okay.
Because if it wasn't for him, I would not be who I am today. He groomed me very well for business.
Yeah.
He realized very early on that I was articulate.
Yeah.
He told me that, and I didn't know what it meant. Mm-hmm. And then he paid close attention and poured a lot into me,
yeah,
and, you know, made sure that I presented myself in a nature.
Yeah.
But I will say that he programmed me. Mm. Like, I was not allowed. My friends that went to the same exact church used to ask me, April, why do you dress so old? Why do you dress like this? Why do you dress?
Damn.
Because he would not allow me
yeah.
to wear anything other than that. Church.
Yeah.
My boys could not buy. I better not bring my boys to that church in no t-shirt. And yeah. I valued his opinion and I respected what he had to say.
Yeah.
Because at that point, he was the only father figure that I had and my kids had.
Okay.
So he was
the
father figure for me and my children.
And the kids.
So
okay.
everything that he said mattered to me.
Yeah.
Not only that, if my lights was off, he paid the bill. He didn't take that money from the church.
Yeah.
He took that money out of him and his wife's personal account. Mm-hmm. When I got locked up and I needed $500 to get out, first time Stacia Bussey paid it. I don't even know how she knew I was locked up. But when people want to know why I ride for the whole bus so hard, that's why.
Right.
She paid my bill.
Hell yeah.
But the second time I got locked up and my bill was $500, Him and his wife took the money out of their bank account and wrote that check and bailed me out because they believed in me and they knew that my children needed their mother.
Yeah.
So I respect him.
Hell yeah.
A lot. But I will say that a lot of the reason why I'm no longer a part of organized religion is because I was programmed to believe that I had with him. This her at that church?
They would have told you up, bitch.
He told me, your hair grows brown or black. Ain't no other. You a black woman. Your hair grows brown or black.
Right.
Don't come up in here with no other color because I was coming with fire engine red hair.
Hell yeah.
Your spikes to the gods, you feel me? And he said, baby, come here. Let me tell you something. Let me learn you something. Your hair grows. And I appreciated that because at that time in my life, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
I need, because I was too far, right?
Right.
I was way too far. So he pulled me in, but there was no room for me to be who I was.
Right, right.
I'm wearing these three-piece suits. I got this black hair, these roller wraps, and I'm looking like I'm going to law school to be somebody's lawyer, right? And so I'm writing books. I've launched Victorious Development, which was a professional coaching aid. You know what I'm saying? Like, we help people for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Erica was my right hand man. We're doing great stuff.
Yeah.
We're doing big stuff. I'm hosting women's conferences, and it was good, but it was not me.
It wasn't you, huh?
It lacked my personality.
Yeah.
It lacked my character.
Yeah.
And so now what you get with the angel effect is all me.
All of you.
You know what I'm saying? You get me,
the turn up and the religion.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? You get all of that. Like, there are no boxes.
Yes.
There is no bondage.
And that's fair.
So that
shit matters. You can either be stupid religious or stupid Jew, crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's all valid.
Or you can
be a fucking mix.
But that's like brilliant.
Yes,
that
you know what I'm saying?
It's multifaceted. It's flexible. It's crazy.
I will never, ever cancel my roots.
Mm-hmm.
He is my roots.
Yeah.
His teachings to me gave me my foundation. It created my foundation, but I had to find myself.
Yeah.
You know, I could not be a carbon copy.
Yeah.
I could not be what you want me to be. Mm-hmm. I have to be myself.
You have to.
And so that created a split between us because who I am originally, he wasn't able to respect it because it was too far on the wild side.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also respect and understand. Look at this gyrating over here. I also understand and respect the time that he was raised up.
Yeah.
And how important it was for black people to have that presence because we wasn't respected without that presence.
Yeah.
And so for black people during the time that he was raised, in order to be taken seriously, we had to dress like that.
Yeah.
In order to get in certain places. And then the church, understand that the church was not just a place of worship in the time that he was raised.
Yeah.
We could not go in professional settings and have a respected status.
Yeah, yeah.
The only place that we could get that was in the church.
Was in the church, yeah.
And so in order to do that, you had to look a certain way.
That's what
way.
Respect looked like.
But
that's what appreciation looked like.
I wasn't born in them times.
That's what common sense looked like.
Right, you feel me? So I'm thankful for that that he taught me those roots.
That's definitely an experience.
And so that's where you get the sophistication.
Yeah.
That's where you get the professionalism.
Definitely.
That's where you get all of that. But I was also raised in the hood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The hood raised me.
Yeah.
My mama, you know what I'm saying? God rest her soul. She did the best that she could.
Yeah.
With the knowledge that she had. Mm-hmm. I probably wasn't the child that she prayed for. You know what I'm saying? My mama is an introvert. She's a book reader. Mm-hmm. She's, you know what I'm saying? But she did have a drug habit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so while nobody outside of those in my in intermediate household knew that she had this drug habit, it affected my life.
Yeah.
Because the men that she dated, the men that she were married to, they were drug addicts and they beat her. Mm-hmm. So I was raised up every day in domestic violence, watching my mama get beat up and all of this and that. And some days she come home high off of God knows what and she's laughing 1 minute, she's crying the next. And so that, you know, that had a impact on me mentally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that also is a part of who I am.
Right.
Being raised, you know, in that, having to come up in ghettos, having to establish myself to where I'm not being picked on, having to create an identity that is respected, having to have a hardcore so that bitches take me seriously.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
All of that is what people in the religious congregation fail to recognize. Like, I'm this, but I'm also this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's valid. And I'm going to be successful either way.
Right.
There's no book play on how to do this shit.
Right. And there's a reason why I also have a very strong sexual presence. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm very much into sexual orientation. Yeah. I love having sexual conversations.
Yeah.
I don't shine away from that because I'm in the religious community. We gonna talk about this
Max
shit.
Was hilarious.
There was right. Stupid. There were things that was presented to me along my upbringing that caused me to have that perspective and to want to gravitate to that.
Right.
All of that makes me, and I'm done with dumbing down any part of me
exactly
to please one part of you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's right.
I'm done with that. So this is what it is. Yes,
this is what you get.
I'm very spiritual. I'm very biblically grounded, and the Bible is my foundation.
Yep.
But I was also raised in the hood, and I might smack your ass if you talk too much
it
shit.
Is what it is.
Right. I might cuss a little bit. You know what I'm saying? My pastor was a cussing pastor. He cussing his sermons. I also had some shit go on in my household.
Yep.
To that made me, you know, have. Keeping it real.
That made me
have a sexual, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All of that is
all these pieces
April Hearn.
Make April Hearn. Yeah. That's what I was
and
about to
all
say.
Of that I'm bringing to the Angel Effect.
I'm about to say, all this is all this
of
is
that.
Brilliant.
And it's all of that is black brilliance.
Brilliant.
And all
exactly
of that
is black brilliance.
Let's
exactly
talk about your video. Now why we on this line.
Because I want you to say it one time, please, for me say
let's
it tonight.
Let's talk about
it.
Let's
say
talk about
it one
that
time.
Bitch, I am black brilliant.
Yeah. Feel me? Feel me?
That
and wow
fucking video.
And the fact, okay, so when Amira did her video, I did a video on black brilliance. I had all of the heavy influencers in Louisville, Kentucky submit a video to me saying I am black brilliance. And
what did Amira say?
Bitch, I am black brilliant. Okay.
And not only did she say it like that, but she also said it naked.
I was naked.
And that is so
Amira. I'm who I am.
It's so Amira. And what I had to tell some people is that she is still black brilliant.
Yes, yes,
the fact
that
I had to say that, though. And this is the thing. I had this promo video created. And I spent a lot of money for this video to be created.
Mm-hmm.
And money, yes, that I wish I could have put it in Maxwell Mitchell's pockets to make this video because he probably would have made it better. But the fact that he wasn't available because he's so booked and busy.
Booked
and we
and
love
busy
the fact that black people are booked
and busy.
Busy.
Yeah,
even
you
though
motherfucker.
He steals my desk, so he could have had some time to hold together while he was still in desk.
But
space.
I really want to hone in on the fact that because of the type of people that I had on the video, I won't mention no names, but we had some heavy hitters in the black community that are very well known professionally. And yeah. we had some white folks on there that represented some multi-million dollar financial institutions yeah. or some multi-million dollar businesses. Yeah. Because they was on there, I did not feel comfortable putting Amira's video on there with them not knowing that it was on. This was going to be a part of the promo video.
Yeah.
Because I know that's not the way that they represent their business. That was such a fucking struggle for me.
I was transparently, I was a little hurt. Because, again, like us talking about, you know, dumbing ourselves down.
Yeah, and you said that to me. All my life. Why do we have to keep doing it?
I'm tired of doing that shit. And I know, and for April, like for black people, for you, it was like, it's for you or whatever. But I just, so I'm younger than you, but we've had the same struggle in terms of trying to be ourselves. Like yeah. trying to. For the longest, it was an internal struggle. Like, I'm trying to convince myself that I'm worthy who I am. Like, I'm cool as I am. I don't need to change anything about me. I got my flaws, but who fucking doesn't?
Right.
And now I even projected through the show trying to have people accept me for who I am as well. You know, I've even had comments like, oh, Mira's so fun now. I love her. I can't wait till she grows up or, you know, gets a little older and, you know, is a little more modest and shit. And I'm like, this is me.
Right.
Focus on the me right now. Who knows? I might be even fucking crazier.
I was about to say, because once you hit those ages to where you realize really that what you do is for you,
yeah.
and you don't really give a care who likes it or who doesn't yeah. like it, you're going to go all out.
Right.
And it might be way, you know, more than yeah. that, but they just got to take what they get.
Exactly.
That's you.
Erica, I've been falling in love with me more and more and more lately. Mm-hmm. Seeing that I am supported and I am loved, and especially the movement actually did a huge part yeah, for me yeah, because yeah. the movement, that was like the one space where just hands down, because you're a black queen, you're loved. It don't fucking matter. Yeah. You're loved because you're a black queen.
Yeah.
And that was the start of like, I really am loving myself and the person I am and who I'm becoming. Yeah. And I'm believing that other people love me too, because I do love that shit. I do love to be supported. So it did hurt when I had to redo the video. I ultimately did not redo the video. And that was really just because I forgot.
Yeah.
yeah, because I was just like, anything for you, April. You know, I won't say bitch. But it just really does suck that that's the pressure that you're dealing with.
Right.
Just like, if you're saying black brilliance, again, we coming back into this area or this this weird-ass expectation of generalizing what exactly, like, you know how people generalize the image of what a strong black woman is.
Yeah.
A strong black woman is this, this, and this, and this, and this. But that's not fair, because that's only literally one image of a black woman that's circulating through everyone's minds, and I hate that shit.
Yeah.
So it's the same with black brilliance. How you explained how you are hood and you're religious and professional as fuck.
We cannot generalize at all, period.
If you are black, you're brilliant. So so it's just like, if we having the Black Brilliance Expo, and this is what you asking me, and I'm going to be myself because I still feel like that's a part of brilliance, that's what I'm going to give you.
Yes. That's right.
So next year, you better take whatever video I give you. Fuck these people, okay?
Thanks, whoever like else is real. On the video is going to have to understand that it may be different than what you see Black Brilliance as.
Right.
However, just know that
she's still Black Brilliance, because
everything we have on here is Black Brilliance. Exactly. Now, if it's different than yours, then you just have to accept that. If you don't want to be a part,
same with those fucking white people.
We respect that, but
I'm gonna call you a Daniel Cameron. I'm just gonna call you a Daniel Cameron because I have to be true to my culture.
Right. Yeah.
You feel me? Right. And it challenged me.
Yeah.
When I could not put that video on there
because
of who was on there.
Yeah.
That was another April, look yourself in the mirror moment.
Yeah.
Are you for your culture or not?
Yeah, that's taking a risk. You know, with everything, you take a risk.
Yeah.
And to put it on there would have been a risk that some people would have got with, some people wouldn't.
Yeah.
But that's just what it takes.
Guess what?
When you know.
That's how we break these barriers.
I still didn't get the sponsorships.
Well, then you still should have put it on there.
Next year,
It's all going on. You're putting my shit on Black there. Brilliance is Black Brilliance.
Because this is what God has proven to me. Mm-hmm. You didn't need that sponsorship.
You didn't need it.
Stay true to what I told you to do.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry. Some of y'all viewers might like it. Some of y'all not. But the God I serve is Black as fuck.
Yeah.
Right. You feel me?
It's a risk. And it's a risk being Black.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Looks like it's just a risk being Black. And I take a risk every single day being my damn self, just like y'all.
Yes. And the God that I serve, he sides with the oppressed, not with the oppressor.
Right. Yeah.
And I had a command to stay true to my people.
Yeah.
But I was worried about the bag.
Yeah.
And that's where we oftentimes fall.
Yeah.
Because they can dangle money in our face.
Yeah.
But with my own dollars and with God putting the people in my pad that I needed, the show is still going on.
Still going
on. It's not as glamorous as I would like it to be, but guess what? That just means we have room for growth.
I'm about to say, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That just means we have room for growth. But what this has taught me is to stay true.
Yeah.
Stay true to what I believe.
Yeah.
And when you submit your video to me, if I see Black Brilliance in this, damn it, it's going in the promo.
Yeah.
And you have to also understand that when God gives you something, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
It's going to be odd. There's going to be people who do not agree with it.
Always.
Not see it as what you see it.
Always.
However, there is always somebody who's out there who's willing to accept what you have to give.
Yeah. Somebody because you know what?
You probably got
shit,
the millions and they probably had the money and they would have loved to see her naked ass on that Black Brilliance video and would have been like, April, you know what?
I've been waiting on
this. I believe in you because you took this risk.
Right.
But next time we know and next time, you know, we will use this experience to go forward.
There's people out there that are saying, I'm waiting on that.
Yes.
I don't want the norm.
The cookie cutter.
Maybe they're scared to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And they just
so they waiting for someone
for
else to do
to
that.
Bust
take that
out
rent.
The box.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they in the box themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And once somebody else busts out, and this is what I have to get comfortable in.
Yeah.
Is that I got comfortable in God making me a trailblazer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that I have to do some things before some other people do it.
Right, right.
And it might not feel comfortable, but other people are going to come behind me after they see me do it, and they're going to do it, and then that'll make me comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be comfortable in God creating me to be an innovator.
Right. Yeah.
An innovator creates things that have never been done before. And when you have created things that have never been done before, it feels strange.
Yeah.
It feels... You're going to get that resistance.
It looks strange.
Definitely.
Yes. It looks strange.
Definitely.
But
it was not easy starting the show.
That's what innovation is.
But that's how
if you ain't
designed.
Never seen it before,
right.
That's innovative.
That's innovation. Right. That's trendsetting.
And I
that's
have an assignment.
Right. That's all of that shit.
On my life.
Yes.
To be innovative in regards to what Black culture looks like.
Yeah.
And in regards to what... Not what, but how Black culture is embraced and celebrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a direct assignment in regards to the way my platform looks at Black culture.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of Black people in my platform that think that Black culture in regards to success needs to look a certain way.
Looks a certain way. And we definitely
and
get that from white
shake
people.
Us.
White people telling us this is how this is supposed to look. And now we're doing it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's okay. We got to take time to break all of this shit. We break it. We got to take time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm patient with my Black people. I understand I'm not even mad at April or anything like that. I wasn't. I knew it was a hard decision for April.
Yeah.
And deep down, it was like a whole like.
But this is what I want to know.
For the money.
How did it feel for you when you decided, this is what I'm going to do? How, like, was it a split second or was it like, you know what? I think this is how I'm going to do my video. How was it for you, like, when you decided, this is what I'm going to do?
So when April asked me to make a video, I was like, you going to do it? Immediately, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be naked. Like, I just said that off jump. Like, you know, just I knew it was going to like drive her crazy. Like, right. Amir, you going to be naked? Like, yeah, I'm going to be naked. And so when I just sat, like, of course, I wanted to stick to that. Mm-hmm. I think also because I knew the people that April reached out to make this video. Yeah. And shit like this is always a challenge for me because it's always, I'm being who I am, yeah. but I also understand that whole part of it's a risk. Like, the show is a risk. Yeah. I do some shit. Yeah. You go to my page, it's Nude Central. Yeah. I got my OnlyFans on there. It's I really try to live in my truth and everything right. I identify with. And I know it's risky, but there are other black people out there just like me who need yeah. that type of road being paved, that yes. type of role model. Yes. So any moment that I can these days to showcase who I am yeah. and that these type of black bitches exist,
yes.
I grabbed that shit by the nuts. So it was nothing for me to be like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't foresee it being rejected, though. Mm-hmm. Only because I believed in the whole sense of black brilliance.
Right, right,
that's all
right,
black,
right.
anything.
Yeah.
So, but when April explained it to me, like, we got some people who's going to yeah. be looking at this video, sponsorship money, yeah. you know, shit like that. It was like, for April, I understand. I was also frustrated, like, this is us dumbing ourselves down again for fucking white people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even realize, you know, also with the pressure of these other black leaders being in yeah. there as well. But I'm just kind of like...
But that's also a lesson, too. And yeah. then we also have to remember that all black leaders are not always for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Just because they're not for the whole picture.
Yeah.
Now, there's some black leaders who want us to fit into that same box that they went into.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
But there's, you know,
because
we have
to... for them, they think that's the blueprint.
Yeah.
And that's fair. And I want them to win. And I want the blueprint to work. But I also
we
need
have
the support
to start
that it's not
winning
gonna be the same.
On our own
yeah.
brilliance.
Definitely.
Basically. Not
definitely.
Just because we fit into this box.
Yeah.
And not just because we dumbed ourselves down.
Yeah.
We have to start being able to excel with
exactly.
just who we are.
Yeah.
Just being
unapologetically.
Just being,
we yeah. are who we are.
White people
and
honestly
just,
do it.
Yes.
They do it all.
Yes.
They do it all and they
yes.
don't give a fuck. They know there's people that
right.
phone them. They know there's people that's not phone them.
Yeah.
But they don't give a fuck like that.
Yes.
And
like they
yeah.
doing it.
Like when I was literally just walking down the street the other day, mm-hmm. and I was questioning what I had on for work, if it would be acceptable or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then a white person walked past me, and they just had on, so, you know, and at first my question was, why are you judging what they have on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, what do you, like?
Right.
You know, they will wear like
anything. I went through that this week too.
But yeah. guess what? They also ain't spending all the money that we spend
right.
on things to look presentable.
Yeah.
So then
right.
the question came,
yeah.
why do I feel the need to look presentable? Why is it that I feel like I have to color coordinate and look a certain way and pull it all together for me to be accepted in this place that I'm going to work?
Yeah.
But you don't feel that pressure as
right.
a white woman, a white man.
Yeah.
You can put on whatever.
Yeah.
You literally do not feel the pressure. If you want to wear the
yeah.
business colors and you want to wear the suits,
yeah.
cool. But if you want to come in, what the fuck ever,
right.
yeah.
you can do that and there is no pressure.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah,
that makes me think about how they party because, you know, you can go out to a white people's party
yeah.
and they got on what they had on from work.
From work.
They got on, you know, your what you call them again?
My
Tevas.
Yes.
They got all that.
My hippie shoes.
However, we have taken 2 hours, 2.5 hours. All day at the beauty shop, at
yep.
the nail shop, at
yep.
the store, trying to make sure everything is right and everything
yep.
together. And we go and we spend money
yep.
and we stand against the wall and
yep.
we like, dang, we get home. I ain't really even had that much fun.
Right.
You know, you go to a white party, they got on any damn
they don't
thing
give
they
a
want.
Fuck.
They done had a blast. And you like,
I love white parties.
It didn't even, yes. yes.
I really
it didn't
do.
Even
because
take all
that.
That.
They don't
but
give
why?
A fuck.
You know,
twerk.
Let
yeah.
me,
right.
when
you like
let
it,
me
it,
tell
a
you, that is slave mentality that
yes.
we still struggle with
yes.
from when you had the house nigga. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the house nigga got to put on whatever. Yeah. And then you had just field niggas. Yeah. Your field niggas had to wear the rags. Mm-hmm. And the white slave masters created this mentality that the house nigga was better than this field nigga. Because they
and
were
they
in the
gave
house.
Them better clothes. Yeah. And they gave them better accommodation.
Yeah. Outside, we already have that, right?
Right.
But then outside of that, when we were freed, so-called free,
just a little bit.
The only way to determine that a nigga was free was by what they
and
wore.
Had
what
some
they
status. Wore. Yeah.
Well, the only way you could determine if they had status, that's right, is by what they wore. Yeah. So if you dressed in rags, you were still a plantation nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
You haven't established yourself as a free nigga.
Yeah.
So we still operate with that mindset. That's why we go.
Oh, we do that through clothes. We do that, you know, Instagram, creating these lives and stuff.
We do all of that.
I think part of it is black people are extra. We're extra. We want to look extra and great. And you know what I'm saying? Half of that is like, bitch, I don't care. This makes me feel good. I think the other half of it is trying to also accept yourself. Mm-hmm. You're trying to work hard to believe that you're pretty. You're trying to work hard.
Still trying to.
To
I wish we would just believe that we are important and we are brilliant just how we are.
Yeah.
Even if you're not glamorous and even if you're not the made up, and you're still brilliant, you know?
Yeah.
And we need to start accepting ourselves for who we are.
I think it's going to happen. These generations it's coming because we came up in generations where black people, black kids and white kids was telling us we too black or something.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, you not black enough, you know, to the light-skinned people and shit like that. You know, it was really a struggle. But I think black people are embracing themselves more and more. Mm-hmm. Parents are younger and younger these days, and they don't give a fuck.
Hard.
And you know what I'm saying?
We're tired of chasing
the dream. We're ready to make our own dream.
And that's it.
We tired of cutting our son's hair off because you don't want him in braids and dreads. We're tired.
Yeah.
We're sick of this shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's gonna be good. That in and of a nutshell, to wrap this up, is what Black Brilliance is about.
Yes.
Black Brilliance is to embrace black culture. Black Brilliance is to accept black experience and understand that it is something that you can have pride about.
Yep.
Yes.
Be prideful in who you are. The fact that they continue to try to knock us down and we continue to rise up.
Yep.
The fact that we continue to rise up stronger and stronger with every round.
Yep. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, something to be celebrated. Black history is not just pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. There is beauty in being black.
Definitely.
There is beauty in being black. Because we are a hell of a nation. We are a hell of a people. And even though I don't know where the fuck I came from in Africa, that blood still pumps through my veins.
That's right.
Every day.
And that is what makes me royalty.
Yep.
That is what makes me thrive. That's what makes me want to go harder.
Yep.
And want to build my community. Makes me want to build my community.
Yep.
To continue in this race. It used to be a rat race, but it don't feel like a rat race too much because I'm gaining leverage.
What you
regardless
say,
regardless if they like it
said?
Or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a rat race, you just
hell
running in a circle like you in a hamster ball.
Right.
But
now
I'm gaining leverage. I'm
you
gaining leverage
the-
because
yeah,
I got some
somewhere.
Younger black boys and black girls
that
I'm pulling out the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to make sure that y'all have businesses that thrive.
Yep.
I'm getting ready to put myself in position to where I can put my other people and my people in position.
Yep.
You feel me?
That's
so to me, that's leverage.
Yep, it is. It most
to me, that's leverage.
Is.
I'm creating spaces to where black businesses and black faces will be known and respected.
Yep, we need that.
That's
we need that's those
I
are steps for healing the community.
Bank. You feel me?
You know they want it.
You feel me? Like, you will respect us.
Yeah.
I had a white man come up to me today, and I fucked with him because his shirt said, "Trump lost. Get over it." Then he had a pen that said, "Fuck Trump." And he was like, "I like your hair." I said, "I like your shirt."
Right.
He said, "Your hair didn't grow like that, though." I said, "How you know it didn't?"
Right.
He said, "Well, because you know what? It doesn't even matter. I like your shoes." I said, "I like your pen." But for a moment, we was trying to figure out how to be human. with one another.
Yeah.
All he knew was that he liked my vibe and I liked his.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? He walked away and he kept turning around looking back, and I kept turning around looking back.
He wants you, girl.
And I'm like, yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah, right.
They always want the chocolate.
They always want the black juice. Yeah, they always do. But for a moment, because I started the conversation, I was talking about how I had trust issues with white men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
You did mention that, yep.
And now I'm having a conversation with one, and we're going back and forth.
Yeah.
And he want to know if my hair grew like this. And I'm like, it ain't none of your motherfucking business.
Exactly.
You didn't wake up this morning with that shirt on your body, but I still like it.
Right.
You feel me? You put it on?
Yes.
Just like I put it on.
Right, exactly.
But for a moment in time, we found something that we liked about each other.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be from where I'm from.
Yeah.
I'm not from where he's from. But can you accept this culture that I'm bringing to you?
Yeah, definitely.
Can you appreciate this culture that I'm bringing to you?
Definitely.
And can you celebrate that this culture is a part of your culture?
Exactly.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not.
It is, though.
We are.
It
can
really
you
is.
Celebrate the fact that black culture is a part of American culture, regardless how we try to separate this shit?
Right.
We all in this bitch together.
That's we are.
And so that is Black Brilliance. It's not just for black people, black faces. It is for people. It is for all
for
of us to come in. Just like you going to take your ass down there to World Fest this weekend and celebrate the cultures.
Yeah.
You're going to go to World Fest and you're going to celebrate Indian culture, Jamaican culture, African culture, Caribbean culture, white culture. Bitch, bring your ass to Black Brilliance and celebrate black culture.
Yes.
Max don't get me tired.
Right. I about to say, she's drunk again.
Call it a field trip or whatever you like.
Right.
But
so, I mean, on that note, bitch, tell people the particulars of Black Brilliance. Like, what day, how much.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't say none of that.
All right. It's a goody.
All right, guys.
This is the good part.
The Black Brilliance Expo is happening on September the 11th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The admission for entry is $35.
Yep.
You are able to buy those tickets on theangeleffect.faith.
There you go.
Physical tickets can be purchased from Virtue or Better Days West
at
the price of $35 USD currency.
There you go.
Because
how much at the door?
If for some reason you fail to purchase your tickets within the next 7 days, you will be able to purchase tickets at the door at a price of $40 USD currency.
There you go.
Either way, we want to see your ass at the Black Brilliance Expo. Right.
There you go.
Right.
At what time?
5 to 8 p.m.
There you go. Where?
1619 West Main Street, which is 1619 Flux. Arts and Activism.
Activism, and that's what this whole motherfucking expo is about to be, and what is a part of arts and activism. I'm so excited. I'm happy for you. Who's hosting, by the way?
We are privileged to have
brilliant
the amazing Amira Bryan hosting the Black Brilliance Expo.
Yes. Look at her.
The Amira Show will
Amira
be hosting. Oh, I want to do that too. Hold on, wait a minute.
I will be hosting the motherfucking Black Brilliance Expo because I am Black Brilliance, bitches, and I'm very excited. And I promised April I'm not wearing no pasties. I got you. No.
She's not gonna show the nips.
She said
and
no,
tips.
But I might do some like gifts.
We didn't vote on that.
Mesh will be there, okay? Mesh is going to be in the
she's
building.
She's definitely.
I still got to be myself somehow.
Okay. In some way, some sort, that's she right. has to bring us a mirror.
Yes, bring a mirror, please.
I got you.
Do not leave her at
home. Hold on. My viewers are watching them. Okay. And then also, Maxwell Mitchell, would you like to come over and say a few words?
Oh, you will hear the voice of Maxwell Mitchell.
Who will be narrating along with J.C. Prolific.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Come on and say a little bit.
Y'all want to hear that voice. You know you do.
So much pressure. Peer pressure. Peer
get
pressure.
Don't get me started on that voice.
Maxwell is behind the scenes tonight, you know what I'm saying? With that being said, y'all, make sure y'all definitely go purchase your tickets, physical tickets or tickets at the door. You can definitely check out April's page on the Angel Effect or on April's page on Facebook, April Hearn, for the Eventbrite link.
A-P-R-I-L-E.
E, right. It's an E at the end.
H-E-A-R-E.
There you go. Make sure you go visit so that way you can go purchase some tickets beforehand. Other than that, go get some tickets at the door or over at Virtue. You feel me? So we will definitely see y'all next week. Y'all go ahead and plug yourselves. Where can people find y'all? I know we just plugged the Facebook, but plug it again, beach. That and your IG, because you don't use your IG enough. So we're trying to get you to use your IG.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be doing 30 days of Instagram. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Hey Miss April.
That's what that says. As much as I tag and use it, I'm like,
hey, you should hear it when it comes up on the phone, because that's what I got
y'all
name say.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Miss April.
So my personal Instagram is Hey Miss April, but we want you to follow TheAngelEffect.USA on Instagram. Yep. We are also on Facebook as The Angel Effect.
The Angel Effect.
But if you want to tag us in a post, you will have to put TheAngelEffect.USA.
Yep.
Tickets can be purchased for the Black Brilliance Expo at TheAngelEffect.Faith.
Yep.
But keep up with The Angel Effect, because we are going to do a lot of dope
stuff. A lot more shit
this whole Black Brilliance, we're taking a sabbatical.
Definitely.
But during that time, we are going to be planning a lot of dope stuff.
Yeah.
And we want you to be a part of it. We don't want you guys to miss out on anything.
Not shit.
That's right. So make sure you're plugged in. Again, TheAngelEffect.USA on Instagram, The Angel Effect on Facebook, TheAngelEffect.Faith.
Yeah.
Our website. We will have a lot of different opportunities and a lot of different events coming to you for us, by us.
Keep posted. Touch. There you go. Erica, go ahead and plug yourself.
Hey! How's it going? You can find me on Facebook at Erica Lovejoy Seward, S-E-W. A-R-D. Mm. Don't do that other page without the Lovejoy. If it ain't Lovejoy, it ain't me.
It ain't her. Shit.
Now, you can also connect with me through Agape Administrative Services at www.agapeadminservices.com. You can connect with me. You can set up an appointment. We can talk about your administrative needs. And we can just vibe.
I love that shit. I love that shit.
Yeah,
I love that shit. I actually didn't know what she was like specializing in, and now I fucking know. So I'm so happy about that. Make sure y'all definitely hit her up to get some resources, you know what I'm saying, and get some assistance. That's what April motherfucking did, you know what I'm saying? Actually, it was by default, like from what I've been hearing. You have help. You have a professional administrative person to assist you along with your entrepreneurial procedures.
By default.
It just is a packaged little situation there.
She is horrible.
I love it.
She's my friend, but her services are not for free.
I'm about to say, y'all need to go pay her some money. You feel me?
Her services
their
are not
arrangement,
for free.
Their arrangement is none of y'all's business.
We start out of love,
let's just
but we
say
do
this.
Need to get paid.
I don't believe in allowing anybody to do anything for me for free unless you're white.
Thank you.
Because you owe me.
She does. She keeps that real. I definitely appreciate that shit. Jackson, do you want to plug yourself as co-host or co-owner? Just real quick, do the Facebook.
Tell them where they can find you.
Where can they find you? Nowhere. She said what she said and she meant it.
You might not want to find her, because if she finds you, it's trouble.
Yeah, so I'm trying to raise an entrepreneur, but she doesn't like people.
She the behind the scenes one.
There's jobs for
you.
That.
You got the house, you got the house person, and then you got the back of the house.
Yeah, that's all it is. Very valid. But she's still very important.
I'm about to say, definitely. Back of the house is hella important.
Hell,
front of the house really just make conversation and get people comfortable, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Back of the house is cranking out shit.
That's,
you know what
the
I'm saying?
Truth.
We love you, Chastity.
Head up the back of the house.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning into the Amir Show.
Thank you.
Make sure. Thank y'all so much for coming.
Yes,
like,
thank
I love
you.
It. I know we started late, but we got our time in, bitches, because that's what we do on the show.
Hey,
we go with the flow.
You
know what I'm saying?
It's yours. You set that shit up.
Make sure y'all follow me on Instagram at
she
the
won't give
one.
Me my food stamp card.
Give her a food stamp card.
Oh,
actually, I need to mind my business. Follow me at the One Amir Show, because it's the only one that matters. One more time, if you did not hear me, at the One Amir Show. On both IG and on Twitter, on Facebook. I never plug my Facebook, but it's the Amir Show on there. You
That's
know what
because
I'm saying?
You're under 30.
Probably so, yeah. Yeah,
you 30
I'm very,
or under don't never.
I'm very heavy on IG. I don't even do Twitter. Like, I do the whole. Yeah, no, I'm very heavy on IG.
I don't do Twitter myself.
But what I'm trying to do, and that's going to be my goal for next year, is to make sure that I'm pushing y'all to my website, y'all. I have a whole website with shit on it. So make sure you also go check out www.theamirishow.com for past episodes and for more content, you know what I'm saying? The updates are going to be happening. I'm taking a little, you know, winter break as well, a little sabbatical, you know. Yeah. I got to plan that into my shit, because we get burnt the fuck out.
Yes.
It's 12
it's
months
real.
In a year,
burnout
and we keep
real.
Going. Like, holy shit.
Yeah,
man, make sure y'all go follow us. Check out this episode. Anyone on these lives, share. And then make sure y'all go purchase a ticket, and we will definitely see y'all at the Black Brilliance Expo. With that being said, thank y'all again. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Amira Show.
I got you.
Thank you.
Y'all tell everyone bye-bye.
Bye-bye.